Actually, I was going to say in the midst, but we're actually coming to the end of a series called Truth on Trial. Give me a wave if you have heard every single message in this series of Truth on Trial. Give me a wave. Who has been blessed by this series? Can I just tell you, it has blessed me greatly. Just give me a wave if this is the first installment you've heard in this series, Truth on Trial. If this is your first. Okay, brilliant. So I would just encourage you, if this is your first or if you've missed a few, please go on our website, listen to the podcast, catch up. Because this has been an incredible journey. I think it's far more than a conversation. I actually believe from the stories that we've heard that God has been taking us on a journey, both individually and collectively as a family. So I just want to encourage you, if this is the first time you're hearing it, catch up. Because it's going to really bless you. But I kind of feel like we have been watching a trial kind of unfold before our eyes. Have you ever watched like a really epic trial on TV and every night on the news there's like the next installment of what's gone on? I kind of feel like as I was going through all the different podcasts and all the different messages we've heard, I felt like I was watching a trial unfold before my eyes. And I don't know which part of that installment has been significant for you, or maybe it will be today. But, you know, in this trial, we put our current situation on trial, and we ask God, what is the truth of who you are, and how does that relate to my current situation? And so we put that on trial. And we looked at the truth of Jesus. And we put Jesus on trial. And we came to a conclusion that Jesus is the truth. He is the way and he is the life. And so then we had to wrestle with, if Jesus is the absolute truth, what do I do with my current situation? And Ben did an incredible job about saying, you know what? Sometimes truth offers us a different perspective. And he brought a story of a woman who was actually in the midst of her own trial. She was being hurled by many a crowd in front of Jesus and accused of all kinds of things, most of which she had done. And then Jesus said, let the person with no sin throw the first stone, because they were ready to stone her to death. And one by one, you heard the sound of stones dropping, and the only one who could actually throw a stone says, go, your sins are forgiven, sin no more, you are free. You know, this truth on trial is perhaps you need to look at your situation from a different perspective. And then we brought a message about freedom, because some of us don't feel very free. Jesus says he came so we can be free. And then what does it look like in a situation to choose life? And it's not just truth that sets us free. It's the knowledge of truth. It's the truth we know that sets us free. And how do I choose life in the midst of my own personal trial? And we looked at, Dave did just, our senior leader did an incredible job where, you know, every trial involves a confession. Where someone takes the stand and confesses, gives their story. And what was funny, and I don't think it's that funny, but it's ironic, don't you think, is Dave's giving the confessions of a senior leader. I don't know about you, but I was sitting there, is this my confession? You know, we heard his confession, but our hearts went, actually, your confession is my confession. I confess unforgiveness. I confess brokenness. And then last week, Steve Matthews spoke about truly following Jesus is personal, it is relational, and it is transformational. And you know, at the end of every trial, when everything has been all said and done, we have to wrestle with doubt. At the end of every trial, the jury go away and they deliberate. They listen to everything that's been said, and they have to wrestle with an element of doubt. And then they have to come to a verdict. And I want to say today is verdict day. I don't know what that means to you, but today is verdict day. And as I'm speaking to you, I want you to think of, in the case of, in your case, in your situation. You know, I've heard so many stories, beautiful stories, about people asking, what is the truth about our marriage? I had a great story, like literally an incredible story come through last week saying, we were on the verge of being another divorce statistic. That's where we were. And then I heard about the truth of Jesus, and we are now experiencing kindness and breakthrough in our marriage, and we are happier and we are stronger than we have ever been. If that was your marriage, you'd be clapping louder than that. They put something on trial, something that was separating them, something that kept them apart, that kept them at odds. And they said, what is the truth about this? And now all of a sudden they have kindness and tenderness in their marriage that they have never experienced. Truth offers another perspective. It says, take another look. It could be different. If you follow me, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. And I'm not saying it's going to be without challenge. But what if you looked again? And you know what? At the end of every trial, we have to wrestle with doubt. So I was thinking about doubt. You know, can I just tell you, prepping a message about doubt, I had a whole lot of doubt about it. So it's funny. I mean, it's ironic. But very often, when you bring a message like this, God has to break it in you first. And so I share that with you to say to you that as I'm speaking to you, I've heard God for myself. And so I'm not speaking at you. I'm with you. I'm with you in this. I've had to put my own doubt on trial. You know what? What's wonderful that this church community changed my life. I came here really broken with all kinds of things in the past. And I was embraced by a family. I was embraced by the truth of Jesus. And then today, we tell you that we're so in love with who we are as a family that we want to expand it, and we want to go out and share that. And you know, we're not leaving. We're with you. We're going. It's not Andy and I. We are going because we're part of this family. But you know what? If we're going to go, we've got to wrestle with doubt. You've got to know that there's been moments like, really? Do you know the first expression of doubt is in Genesis 3 in the Garden of Eden? And the devil goes to Eve. And the first thing he says is, did God actually say? I don't know if you've heard from God in the midst of the last few weeks, but I wonder if as you left and you got home and normality kicked off, did God really say? But we exercise that truth by saying, yes, he did. And my faith is not in what I see, because we don't live by sight, but we live by faith. And so sometimes you have to walk a little longer than you thought before you start to see the evidence of things hoped for. But you know, I imagine that if I was blindfolded and a friend was here, I would know they were here. I could hear them rustling. I could feel their presence. Perhaps I could even hear their voice. But I would still need to exercise to overcome my doubt and take a step of faith to trust that they would lead me. And I think when it comes to God, we can maybe experience his presence. We can sometimes hear his voice. But we all have to take a step of faith and trust that he is who he says he is. You know what we were singing? Like, you're never going to let me down. The only way you're going to know that God's never going to let you down is when you take a step of faith. Because if it's all in your own doing, he's never had an opportunity to say to you, come, not by your sight, not by what you think or what you feel, but take a faith step. Do you know, I was looking up doubt. Let me tell you, doubt is complicated, okay? And I kind of want to bring some clarity and a bit of simplicity to it. So I was like trying to look up all the verses. There are lots of them, by the way. I'm just telling you. There are lots of verses that either say someone is doubting or Jesus says, don't doubt. And we were kind of like, what do we do? So I started to look in the Greek, because Greek is just, you know, I wish I spoke Greek. There was not an option at school to take up Greek. Okay, so I'm not even going to start to tell you the name in Greek, because that's with a South African accent, I'm just telling you, it's not going to help you. But I found out there were 7 different definitions for doubt. 7. Some doubt is to be entirely at a loss. One version of a doubt, one sort of definition of doubt is implicity. Another is to doubt or to waver. Another is to be uncertain of which way to go. Another, thinking of a man deliberating within himself, an inward reasoning, a question what is true. Another is to be without resource. Another definition of doubt is to be embarrassed. And some of it means to be raised up. But then there's a different type of doubt. It says to separate oneself in a hostile spirit, to oppose, to strive, to dispute, to contend. Doubt can be so many things, yet in English we just say doubt. But actually, our motive for doubt can be so different. Some of us doubt because we actually want to go forward. We actually want to go forward. But others of us doubt because we really want to go back. You know, I wrote this as I was praying. In times of doubt, we often have a deep desire to go back, to recapture, to rebuild what we have lost. But we need to trust and push forward to a deeper, more mature faith. But when we have doubt, we want to go back to the familiar. When we have doubt, even if the familiar was broken, let me tell you, that saying, better the devil you know, will keep you captive. There is no freedom in such a thought. If we looked at through this trial, we've looked at that the truth will set you free. A lie will keep you captive. And you know what? Whether you've believed a lie, it will change what you hear and what you see. Because what we're constantly trying to do is reaffirm what we think. And so we scan looking for things that reconfirm the lie. Oh, see, I knew I was clumsy. I tripped again. And we're constantly reaffirming. But what if we chose not to believe a lie and to believe the truth about who Jesus says we are? And then look for every opportunity to confirm that. I am who you say I am. I have the choice to choose life or death, and I'm going to choose life. And this morning, that looks like this. But you know what? I had this weird kind of sense of thankfulness when I look back to the moments of real doubt. And it's weird to be thankful for doubt, but I realized that my doubt gave me an opportunity to respond in faith. That if I was just completely certain, I don't think I would have the compulsion, the momentum to actually say, Lord, I'm not going to lean on my understanding, not my ways, but yours. And I'm going to take a step of faith, despite how I feel, despite what I see, I'm gonna trust. You know, another sort of explanation of faith is a deep trust. There's no time to trust God than actually when you have real doubt. It is such an opportunity to respond in faith. But how you deal with doubt is so crucial. Doubt will either lock you into unbelief, or it will be a springboard into a deeper relationship with Christ. But it hinges on whether you go forward, whether you push through the uncomfortable, whether you ask some questions that are hard to ask. You know, I want to tell you a story about my son. And I've asked his permission to share this. And I'm just telling you, I'm very proud of my children. I make no apologies about, you know, speaking well of them. But I just want to say before anybody, like, you know, Siobhan, you know, your son's not perfect. I know that. You know, I know he has good points and his strengths and weaknesses. But I make no apologies for speaking well of him this morning. But he was about 9. And let me just tell you a little bit about Regan. Regan's my son. Let me tell you a little bit about him. Ever since he was little, he's been a thinker, okay? And so he's always wanted to invent something that changed the world. And so at the age of 5, he had a little invention book, and he would draw sketches of things he was going to invent. And he would ask me all kinds of questions that I don't know, have a clue to. So like, what makes something see-through? Like, I'm trying to think back to my school days. How this is 5. Like, okay, hold on. Why don't we find out together? That'd be great. I'm just saying, bank that one, parents. Like, let's do it together. We're going on a journey. Meanwhile, I don't know. I need to find out with you. So he did all these things. And then I remember coming to the kitchen one day, and he must have been about 6, and I could smell something burning. And he'd put all different kinds of things in the oven and put it on. Because what he wanted to do, he realized when his mom burnt food that it shrunk. Right? And so he wanted to burn all these things to see how small they would shrink so that he can send them, because he heard people in Africa were hungry, and he could post them cheaply, and then all they'd have to do is pour water on them and they would get larger and they'd be full. Like, I'm just like, stop playing with the oven. They're like, what? I'm not equipped to mother this child. So he's pretty, like, he's just a different thinker. At the age of 11, he asked for a 3D printer, and I remember him saying, Mom, I'm going to a cafe to meet a man. Will you come with? I'm like, hang on. Do we know this man? No, met him online. Oh, panic. What? Tell me what's going on. Yes, I've joined a charity that helps print 3D prosthetic arms for children because they grow out their prosthesis so quickly. And so I made this arm for this child. Okay, and he actually now, he taught that father how to print his son's own prosthetic arms, and he does that. So I'm just telling you, he thinks a little different. So we're in the supermarket, and he's probably about 9, and he grabs the trolley, and I could tell he had been sitting on this question for a long time, but he had plucked up the courage to ask me. And he says, Mom, will you tell me the truth? Yeah, sure, like, yeah. No, pulls the trolley. I don't want you to move. I want you to really listen, because I really need to ask you this question. I need you to promise me you'll tell me the truth. I'm like, what is he going to ask me? I'm sure we've had, like, the birds and the bees talk. Like, what is he going to ask me? And he says, Mom, even if the truth is hard for you to tell me, would you tell me the truth? Even if it hurts my feelings, I don't want you to hold back. I'm like, what is he going to ask? Yes, Regan. I mean, I'm thinking, is it going to be something I know how to answer? Like, I know he's convinced I will. And he's like, Mom, do I have learning difficulties? I'm like, what? Mom, I just wanted to know, do I have learning difficulties? This is the same boy that I've just told you all that about. I'm like, sweetheart, you don't. This is not a hard question for me to answer. You don't have learning difficulties. Why would you ask such a question? And he was like, well, because if I had learning difficulties, the fact that I can't think sort of in a constructive way, like in a certain way, would inhibit me from knowing that I have learning difficulties. And so, do I have learning difficulties? He's questioning his own reality. I was like, sweetie, you don't. Trust me, you don't. But I'm now starting to think, what should I be questioning about myself that I thought to be true? You know, who am I? Like, to ask that question, you're not even 10. I wonder if you would be brave enough to ask God, what am I sure about that actually is holding me captive? What do I need a different perspective on? Lord, and I'm, you know, he might actually say, no, you're good to go. But don't you think it'd be good every now and then, instead of just charging forward and just forward with the wrong thinking, maybe just give God an opportunity to speak to the things that you think you know. The most dangerous thing is not what you don't know, but what you don't know, you don't know. Like that you're not even aware that that's something you should even know. I just want to say, on truth on trial, why not ask God, what in my life do I need to put on trial? What belief system that I have just fervently gone through, but actually I need to put that on trial. And I need to ask you, Lord, Jesus, you are the truth, the way, and the life. Would you show me the way? Would you reveal your truth to me? And would you bring all the life that brings to me? I love this quote. I've been reading quite a book that really makes you think, and it's called The Sin of Certainty. And this quote is, "Doubt is only the enemy of faith when we equate faith with certainty." Don't you think that's by Peter Ames? Don't you think that actually doubt is not the enemy? Only if we think that faith means I've got to be certain about everything. I actually think by definition, there needs to be a room of just, I'm just going to follow you. I'm just going to trust you. I don't have to have it all together because I trust that you do. In fact, I'm pretty confident that I don't see things clearly, but with your viewpoint, I know you do. You know, I want you to, on your seats, you have a truth on trial card. And what I thought is, as it's verdict day today, I wanted you to consider, and some of you can do that now, some of you might need a little bit more processing time, but I want you to write on this card, in the case of, what is the thing that you need to ask God about? What is your truth in this matter? Where is your doubt? Where is your confession? Where do you need a different perspective? Where do you need to apply the truth of Jesus? In your case, what do you want God to hear today? What is the thing? You know what? Doubt, by the way, is not just a valley experience. I think we think, you know, when we're low and when we're upset, that's when we doubt. Sometimes you can doubt in the midst of the most successful time of your life because the stakes seem high all of a sudden. You know, we don't just doubt when we're struggling. We can actually doubt equally when things are going super well. So why not ask God with the thing that you're struggling in the case of my mom, in the case of my health, in the case of my freedom, in the case of my relationship, in the case of my education, in the case of my relationships, in the case of my workplace. Why don't you write that down? And then I'm going to ask that at the end of this gathering, we're going to declare something. We're going to declare the truth of God. And then we're not going to fall into a trap. Did he actually say? Because you're going to write it down. And you can say, yes, he did. And you know, my memory might be bad, but I wrote it down. And yes, he did. Sometimes you need to read. I'm just saying, I encourage you to read your Bible because it doesn't change. It's living word. And what he said yesterday, he says today, and he'll say tomorrow. And so you need to read your Bible and go, yes, he did say. Yes, he did say. Yes, he did actually. Actually. You know, I had this thought about doubt, that it is either going to take you back or it's going to take you forward. The choice will be yours. Before Andy and I got married, I'd had a really difficult relationship. Really difficult. And I remember putting him to the test. I often think, oh my goodness, I don't know how you stuck with me. Because he was put on trial. Everything he said, did you really do that today? You know, I mean, I was awful. I was hard work. I would have left me. I'm just telling you, I was a nightmare. You know, and I remember just before we got married, because the past, the brokenness wanted to take me back. But actually, I needed to take a step of faith and go forward. And I remember Andy saying to me, the trial's going to have to come to an end. Because otherwise, doubt will have you in a state of suspension all the time. It's going to have to come to an end. Otherwise, you're going to live in this state of suspension. And he said, Siobhan, you're going to have to take a step of faith. You're going to have to trust that I am a man of God. And I love you like God wanted me to love you. And I can tell you, I didn't have the answers. But I had to take a step of faith. Praying, asking God, take a step of faith. You know, doubt, if ignored and if undealt with, will build a theme park of emotions. I just want to tell you, doubt, if ignored or undealt with, will build a theme park of emotions. Roller coasters. One minute I'm fine, the next minute I'm not. You're scary, happy, sad, like it's just a theme. You're just up or down, you don't know where you are. Doubt, undealt with. doubt and dealt with and will make you feel like you're on the teacups, going round and round, feeling dizzy, nauseous, around the same point over and over again. Doubt denied and undealt with will make you feel like you're in the hall of mirrors. You don't know which reflection to trust. You get lost. I don't know if you've ever played, is it the claw that comes in and like grabs things? Doubt undealt with will bring anger. I thought I had that, and just as I was about to get it, it slipped through my hands. Have you ever felt any of those things? There's probably some doubt that you've not dealt with. But I'm running out of time, but it's just, there was a man in the Bible whose son was really ill. It's in Mark 9, 23, 24. And everybody was trying to help, but nothing was working. And Jesus comes. And the man says to Jesus, we're going to have it on the screen. What do you mean, if I can help? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. And then he says, the father instantly cried. I just want you to pause, because doubt means to hesitate. But as soon as Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible. So he instantly says, I do believe, but help me overcome unbelief. Do you know what's incredible? Is when we come to Jesus, we can say, take my belief and take my unbelief. I want to go forward with you. I want to receive all that you have for me. And I just want us to be like that today. I want us to write on these truth on trial cards, Lord, bring your unbelief and then declare your belief. Because today is verdict day, and there's some things that have been holding you going round and round and round the same point. Emotions going up and down, anger and frustration. Doubt undealt with brings fear, unbelief, frustration, and anger. Doubt used as a platform to push you into the arms of Jesus brings faith. It brings trust, hope, joy. Does anybody want more of these things? Do we want faith, trust, hope, and joy? I love, not all doubt sends you back. It depends who you bring your doubt before. Who are you bringing your doubt before? Other people who doubt? Yes, it is bad. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, there's nothing like, you know, common gossip to kind of bring you closer together, but you're going nowhere. Who are you bringing your doubt before? Why not bring it before Jesus? Because he said he is the way, he is the truth, and is the life. I want to encourage you, when you go home, read. If you don't have a Bible, go and see one of the welcome team. We'd love to put one in your hand. But or you can go online, and I want you to find a Bible online or find your Bible at home. Or if you don't have one, speak to someone. But read Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 12. So Hebrews 11 is basically just a list of incredible men and women who had faith. It says in Hebrews 11, it won't come up. I'm just going to read it to you. In Hebrews 11, it says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. Some of you need to put something on that truth on trial that brings God's command to your life. It says, then it's just, I mean, I've printed it off, and I've just, pages and pages. These are people who have gone before us, who the Bible said had great faith. It said, Abel had great faith because he brought an acceptable offering. Enoch had great faith. He was a person who God was pleased with. You know, it was by great faith that Noah built a large boat. It was by great faith that Abraham obeyed God and left what was familiar and went to a land that he didn't know. It was by great faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, even though she was barren and too old. And it goes on and on. Wouldn't it be great if God wrote my name and your name in his book and said of us that we were great women and men of faith? And you know what? Every single name here, when I started to research, when I started to look back, they all had moments of doubt. You just think about Noah. It's not even raining. And he wants to build this huge boat. And you're like, what? You know, where will I get all these animals? I don't know about you, but I can't even keep a fish alive. You know, and so now I've got to get two by two all into the boat. Like, I'm sure there were moments where his neighbor said, have you seen what they're building next door? Like, are you crazy? It's like blocking out my light, you know. I'm sure there are moments where they've just said, what are you doing? And I'm sure in privately, I don't know. I just heard God and I'm just following. I'm a man of great faith. Oh, Lord, would it be said of us that we would be men and women of great faith? Yeah. You know what? Doubt is not the enemy of your faith. You insisting on being right is. I felt that sting when God said it to me. You insisting on proving that you were right in every situation. You insisting on being in control. You insisting on having all your ducks in a row before you'll go. God's not waiting for you to have everything sorted. He's got it sorted. Yeah. He's just waiting for you to say, yes, I'll go. I'm going to take a step of faith. I'm going to ask Austin to come up, if you wouldn't mind. And we're going to create a moment for you to take your card. And if you don't have a pen with you, write it on your phone. But there needs to come a moment where the trial ends. And it's a verdict. You know, there might be some of you here today where the thing that you have wrestled with, the doubt that you have had, is that you don't know if Jesus is the Son of God. You don't know what the whole thing about Christianity is all about. You don't know, is there a God? You don't know these things. But the only way you're going to know is by just taking a step of faith and trusting your life in his hand, and give him the opportunity to be God. Some of you wrestle with the question of, I don't know if there's a God, but you've never given him an opportunity to be God in your life. But he's a gentleman, and he's not going to bully his way in. But he says, I think it's in Matthew 7:7, where he says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. I don't know what you need to ask today. For some of you, you might need to ask Jesus into your life for the first time and ask him to reveal himself to you as your Lord and Savior. Some of you might need to ask God a question. Is there something I have believed to be true that isn't? Some of you might need to ask, would you help? Some of you just simply need to ask God for his help. And it says that it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. I'm just going to ask you to stand with me.